It was the craziest fucking feeling ever. It was like I had been on a roller coaster for years, and it finally came to a halt. Except I couldn't find my balance, no matter where or how I stood, and I would be lying if I said it didn't scare me. There were triggers all around me. Fuck, this apartment alone was a trigger. A part of me felt like I was just living in the gray area, hoping that I would soon find the black or white. I didn't want to relapse. I swear on my love for Briggs that I wanted to stay sober, but it was such unfamiliar territory for me. As if it were a new world, one that hadn't existed since before my car accident. Somewhere along the way, I let the darkness and the demons creep in through the cracks. I never thought people could become so weak to the point of letting anything control their lives. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I would ever become one of them. I knew I was slowly killing myself from the first time that needle went into my arm. There was no going back for me. There was no going forward either. I was at a standstill with no place to go but down into the dark abyss of addiction. Being able to see our baby girl didn't help. All it did was add fuel to my already burning fire, taking down everything in its wake, including Briggs. She was burning alive because I was already dead. I couldn't even remember the last time I touched her, the last time I fucking tasted her, or the last time we fucked, let alone made love. I used to pretty much live inside her, day in and day out. It was my favorite place to be. Buried balls deep inside her. I could see her nipples through the cream-color satin of her tank top that had rose up while she slept. I softly caressed her stomach with my knuckles, leaving goosebumps in their wake. She felt like silk against my fingers as I slowly made my way down to the edge of her panties, slipping my fingers into her warm, welcoming heat. She stirred, and her body told me to keep going, even though her eyes were still closed. My fingers moved, slowly at first, and with each elevated breath that escaped from her lips, I moved them faster and more precise. She moaned, fluttering her eyes open.
"What's going?"
I pushed my fingers into her opening. Her head rolled back against the pillow, and her back arched off the bed. "You're so fucking beautiful," I groaned, watching her come undone time and time again. My thumb played with her clit while I continued to fuck her with my fingers, wanting nothing more than to make her come for me. I intercepted her hand and placed it above her head when it moved toward my cock. "No, baby, let me take care of you," I murmured.
"I want to take care of you too,"
she panted. "All you do is take care of me."
"Austin,"
she whimpered as I thrust my fingers in again. "Open your eyes, baby. Let me see those blue eyes." She did, just as I hit her G-spot harder and with more determination. I let go of her hand to grab onto her hip for leverage, thrusting harder and harder. "I love you, Daisy. I love you so fucking much." That was her undoing. Her pussy clamped down, riding out her orgasm against my fingers, and I loved every last second of it. "We need to talk, babe," I coaxed before I lost the nerve. "We need to go. We need a fresh start. I can't stay..."
"I know. No more running away, Austin. I think it's time you went back home."
I frowned, lowering my eyebrows in confusion. "What do you mean I need to go back home? I'm not fucking living without you, Daisy. You are my home."
"Calm down. I meant with me. I think we could make a really nice life in Oak Island. I loved it there. And it's where your family and friends are. I want that. I want that more than anything else. To be a part of the place you used to call home."
I took a deep breath, contemplating what she said. I could see it in her eyes. Everything that she just shared was something that she really wanted. After all those years, after everything I put her through, put us through, I would give her the world if I could. even if it meant going back home. Chapter 31. Austin. We moved back to Oak Island a few days ago, and I was still unsure about being back in the place I tried so hard to forget. We didn't exactly have a welcoming committee either. I'd been sober for a little over 2 months, and I wasn't going to lie. It was a daily struggle. My back pain was still alive and fucking thriving. I ignored it. I just tried to stay busy, and with Briggs by my side, it was fairly easy to do. Briggs said she settled everything with her uncle before we left. I was stunned when she told me that he was just letting her go with no repercussions. But she said it was behind us, and that was the end of the conversation. We left all our belongings in New York, besides some of our clothes. She didn't even take most of her wardrobe with us, saying that her uncle was the reason she bought half that shit anyway. I took some of my clothes, but not much either. We both wanted a fresh start. We found a furnished apartment on the beach to rent in the meantime. She said she wanted to find us the perfect house, and that would take us some time. I honestly didn't give a fuck where we lived, as long as it kept a smile on her face. I wish I could tell you that I was miraculously cured and that the craving to use had gone away. It didn't. Oak Island was a living and breathing trigger by itself for me. When I called my mom to tell her we were moving back home, to say that she was excited would have been an understatement. She was actually the one that picked us up from the airport and drove us to our apartment. My dad was nowhere to be seen, but she said he was working. I knew in my heart that was just a bullshit excuse. He was the boss. He could come and go as he pleased. He just didn't care to see me. My mom and Briggs seemed to hit it off, talking about random shit and laughing like they were old friends catching up. Briggs looked happy for the first time in years, and that's all that mattered to me. We'd been getting everything situated to begin our new lives. We bought a car, groceries, and little things we needed for our apartment. Normal daily life kind of stuff, and the concept still seemed so fucking foreign to me. We hadn't seen the boys or Alex yet, but that was about to change. Lucas and Alex found their way back to each other, and the inevitable happened. They had gotten married a few years back. Half Pint gave birth to their first baby 3 months ago, a little boy they named Bo. They were throwing a party at their house for their son and for Jacob and I moving back to Oak Island. The good old boys would be together again. A part of me missed them, the bond and brotherhood we had. Lucas was the first one to call me after I called my mom to tell her we were moving back. She gave him my number. Neither one of us mentioned what happened in the past, as if the memory stayed there, buried. Thank fucking God. I didn't think I could live near him if he still hated me.
What if they don't like me?
Briggs asked for the 10th time on our way to the party, looking at herself again in the visor mirror.
Baby, they already know you.
I chuckled, grabbing her hand and placing it on my lap as I drove.
I know, but that was under a really sad circumstance. We exchanged maybe 5 words the entire time, so that doesn't count. They really know nothing about me at all.
They're gonna love you. I love you, so there's that.
Maybe I should dye my hair, like a normal color now.
I glanced over at her. You're not touching one hair on your goddamn head, baby.
She beamed. I just look so different from everyone around here. Did you see the way the cashier looked at me this morning?
Yes, and if he looks at you like that again, I'll break his fucking face.
Austin, he thought I was weird looking.
He thought you were something, all right. And trust me, weird looking wasn't it.
She sighed, leaning back into her seat. I'm covered in tattoos, and in New York I blended in. I feel like I stick out like a sore thumb here.
You never blend in anywhere, Briggs, I grinned at her. Besides, I'm covered in tattoos, too.
You're beautiful. I love that you don't look like anyone here. My friends and family are going to love you.
I mean, my mom already does.
She smiled. I like her, too. She emailed me all these recipes that you used to love as a kid. I'm going to make them for you.
I kissed her hand. We were the last ones to arrive at Lucas and Alex's house that was right on the water. Everyone welcomed Briggs with open arms, making her feel like she was part of the family. I knew that meant a lot to her, since she always felt like she didn't belong anywhere. "Baby, I'm going to get some food," I told her, standing up. She nodded, talking to Alex. I kissed her cheek and walked inside from the lanai.
"So how are you doing, bro?"
Jacob asked, grabbing some food beside me.
"Never better. You?"
I caught him staring right at Lily, completely ignoring my question. It was quick, but I saw it.
"Is that right?"
I asked, bringing his attention back to me.
"What?"
"At least she's legal now," I joked with a shit-eating grin on my face.
"Fuck you,"
he scoffed out, smiling. "Does Lucas know?" He shook his head, no.
"At least I won't be the only one he's ever hated."
He stopped scooping food on his plate, looking at me with a questioning stare, and replied,
"You think he will hate me?"
"You think he won't?"
I countered with a cocked eyebrow.
"I don't fucking know. I love her. I've always loved her."
I knew he was telling the truth. The way he looked at her spoke volumes.
"Lily has always had that effect on people. It doesn't surprise me, man."
"So, Briggs, huh?"
he asked, changing the subject.
"You next? Marriage and a baby carriage and all that shit?"
I winced. I couldn't help it.
"Shit.
I'm going to take this food to Briggs."
I cut him off. Making my way back to Briggs with my demons sitting right on my fucking shoulders. The craving to use was so goddamn intense. I thought I had a pretty good handle on my sobriety, but the mere memory of what started my demise had me crumbling in minutes. My heart was beating out of my chest, and sweat began to pool at my temples. I was jonesing. I stopped in the hallway, realizing that I had gotten lost dealing with my internal struggle, and the irony was not lost on me. I closed my eyes, needing to get a hold of my emotions. My desire to relapse was running deep, taunting me with each step that I took in the wrong direction. All I saw was Briggs' beautiful, happy face, smiling, laughing for me. I took a deep breath, turning around, once again gaining control over my turmoil and plaguing thoughts. Was it always going to be like this?
"Oh my God, Alex, he's gorgeous!"
I stopped dead in my tracks, recognizing Briggs' voice instantly. I stood there, frozen, listening to what sounded like a baby cooing.
"He is pretty perfect, but I'm biased,"
Alex replied, laughing.
"Would you like to hold him?" "Oh, are you sure? I have zero experience with babies, Alex. Is that okay?"
She let out a nervous laugh.
"Of course. You have to start somewhere. Here, put your arms in a cradle position and just support his head and you're good."
My feet started to move forward through the narrow hallway, as if a goddamn rope was pulling them. I found myself following their voices, fighting against the current every step of the way. I knew I should have turned around. I knew what I was about to witness. But I couldn't stop. The gravitational pull was too strong, the force too powerful to fight against it.
"Aw, you look really good holding him, Briggs. It suits you. He's usually fussy around new people, and he doesn't even seem fazed by you. That is a good sign. It means you're going to be a great mom someday,"
Alex said, ripping my heart out of my fucking chest with her words.
"Bo, you are so precious. Look at these chubby cheeks. Alex, he is going to be a heartbreaker."
The dagger that was already lodged in my heart twisted a little more.
"God help me if he's anything like his daddy,"
Alex laughed.
"I can't wait. I want to be a mom so bad. To wake up and see a face like this every day would melt my heart. I'd love to have a family since I didn't really have one growing up. Holding him right now is making me wish I had one of my own."
I willed my body to walk the fuck away, to walk back in the other direction. I didn't need to hear this. Not now, when I was struggling to stay clean. But I stopped when I heard my name.
"Austin would make an amazing dad, Briggs. He's always like kids. even when we were younger and the other boys didn't want anything to do with them.
Yeah, Briggs replied in a sad tone.
I'd love that, to have a family with him. It's all I've ever wanted, she added, her voice breaking. I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm getting so emotional. It's okay. Baby Bo has that effect on women. He gets it from his dad.
They laughed. Before I knew it, I was standing in front of the room, watching Briggs cradle and rock Bo as if he were her own. As if he was ours. She leaned her lips against his face and kissed his cheeks, looking at him adoringly, loving him immediately.
Austin, Alex announced, looking up.
Briggs grimaced, shutting her eyes almost instantly.
Come meet Bo. Although, I don't know if Briggs is going to give him up. I think she has baby fever. Maybe it's time you...
Briggs interrupted.
Alex?
Locking eyes with me. There was so much sorrow behind them. She held everything she ever wanted in her arms. It was like my best dream and my worst nightmare right in front of my eyes. Except there was no waking up. This was my reality. And that was my biggest fucking demon.
Briggs, call it intuition if you would, but the second I saw Austin coming out of the bathroom later that evening, I knew. Clear as fucking day that he had just used. I wanted to call him out on it and yell at him for going back down this road again. What the hell are you doing, man? I overheard Dylan ask as I walked toward them. Not this shit again. Give me a fucking break, Austin roared, raking him up and down. Wipe your nose a little better next time and maybe I won't ask you. Austin immediately bowed his head, sniffling, cleaning his nose. Get out of my fucking sight before I search you, Dylan warned. Austin took a deep breath like he wanted to say something, but at the last second changed his mind, turned, and left. I didn't have to wonder what he was going to say. I knew the chance of relapse would be high. I just didn't think it would happen that fast, which I guess made me really naive. How long has it been this fucking bad? Dylan asked me, pulling me away from my thoughts. I didn't know what to say, so I didn't say anything. I stood there, dumbfounded, as much as he was. Jesus Christ, Dylan whispered, tugging his long hair back at the nook of his neck. That's when I noticed he was strapped, and right next to that on his holster was a shiny badge. You're a cop? Detective, he corrected me. I had no idea. Austin never talked about his friends. Well, thanks for not searching him. He's my fucking brother, Briggs. I love him. I know, I whispered, lowering my head, defeated. He sighed. I know he went through some shit after the car accident, but I thought, shit. I hoped he had worked it out, especially having you by his side now. He fucking adores you. That's not hard to see. He shook his head. I've never seen him look at anyone like he looks at you. I love him more than anything in this fucked up world. I'm trying, Dylan. I swear to God I'm trying. He's been clean up until now. Try harder, he simply stated and left. I didn't give our conversation too much thought. I needed to find Austin. After searching the house and asking if anyone had seen him, I found him. He was down at the beach, sitting in front of the shoreline with his arms draped over his knees, a cigarette in one hand. I stopped when I was a few feet behind him, taking in how handsome he looked with the full moon shining down on him. The soft lighting was all around us with the gentle breeze blowing by. I wrapped my arms around my waist in a comforting gesture, needing any solace I could find. I used to come here as a kid, watch the waves roll in, smell the salt water in the air. It used to be my favorite place to not feel so fucking lost. And here I am, sitting in the same exact spot, more fucking lost than I've ever been. So, those 2 weeks of hell that we both went through to get you clean, I paused, trying to fight back tears. They were for nothing? Why do you need drugs to escape, Austin? Why can't you just face life like everyone else? A single tear slid down my face onto the sand between us. I'm sorry, baby. You know what the worst part is? I knew the second I held Bo that you would relapse. I didn't want you to see me with him. It's why I went with Alex into his room. The second I heard her say your name, I knew it was too late. I knew with every fiber of my being, you would be fucking weak, that you would betray me and use again. Just tell me one thing. Did you already have them on you? No. I've lived in Oak Island all my life, Briggs. Just took a phone call. Do you have more? I did, but I threw it in the ocean. And I'm supposed to believe you. I can't do this anymore. I can't. He was up and over to me in three strides. I won't do it again, I promise. It was a one-time thing, I swear. I don't believe you. I don't lie to you. I've never lied to you. Admitting the truth is lying. Jesus Christ, Austin. You don't have to say it for it to be a lie. Baby. He reached for me, and I stepped back, even though all I wanted was for him to hold me. Don't fucking baby me right now. I can't go through watching you suffer again. I can't keep going through this. Either you go to rehab, or I'm gone. It's your choice. I don't need rehab. All I need is you. If that were true, you wouldn't have just used.
Austin. I bowed my head, rubbing the back of my neck like I always did when I was pissed. I had no one to blame but myself. Fuck. I groaned, kicking the sand. Fuck! I said a little louder. Fuck! I finally screamed out, grabbing a rock from the sand. God damn it, fuck you! I chucked it as hard as I could in front of me, cursing at myself for being such a fuck-up. Breathing heavily, heart pounding, mind battling, fighting all my thoughts, all my emotions, every last sentiment pulling me deeper and deeper until I didn't know which way was up or down. Knowing the difference between what was right and what was wrong didn't matter. All of it consumed me as if I were drowning in the waves of the ocean, taking me further down the path of destruction. My body was shaking. My heart was breaking. I couldn't take it anymore. It was too much, and it was too fucking real. I peered up at Briggs with my arms out in the air beside me. Defeated. Once again, fucking defeated. With nothing but my remorse, my shame, my guilt. Do you think I want to be like this? Do you think I like being this fucking weak? This big of a goddamn pussy? Do you think I want to fucking live like this, Briggs? I hate myself right now. I hate that just watching you hold a baby in your arms can do this to me. Can make me run back to the one thing that will take you away from me. The one thing that fucking matters the most in my life. I don't know how to be any other way. I don't know how to feel, to cope, and be fucking normal. Even though it's all I want. I want that more than anything, I yelled, struggling to keep it together. I can't do this anymore, Briggs. I can't fucking live like this. I feel like I'm dying, baby. I feel like I'm fucking dying. Every time you look at me the way you are right now, every time I know that I've hurt you again, fucking disappointed you, I didn't think I could hate myself as much as I do right now, and I don't know what to do to make it better for me, for you. I cried, broken, fucked up tears falling down the sides of my face. Please fucking help me. I don't want to lose you, baby. I can't live without you. I fucking love you. But I know. I sobbed so hard my body shuddered to the core. Taking down the last bit of strength I had. The last bit of courage that was left in me. The last part of Austin. I fell to my knees in pain. I couldn't take it anymore and started bawling harder. I sobbed for the first time in front of Briggs. In front of the woman who was trying to save my life, while I just kept trying to destroy it. My resolve broke like a chain that had been stretched to the max. I heard it snap, loud and clear, shattering into a million pieces, bleeding into the sand along with my demons, except the shackles that were tied around my soul, my heart, and my mind were now secured tighter, restraining, pressing in so fucking deep. So fucking intensely, to the point of blinding agony, dragging Briggs right along with me. I was killing her as much as I was killing myself. Our love was bleeding, oozing from the shackles, hammering out of me with each passing second placed between us. I could physically feel it deteriorating away, piece by piece. I placed my hand over my heart, desperately trying to keep it together. To keep our love where it's supposed to stay forever. But it was too late. I couldn't stop it. And for the first time, I was terrified that it would never let me go. I know that if I keep using, if I keep going down this road, I'm gonna die. And I don't wanna fucking die.
I bellowed, shaking my head.
That's not an option. I'm not trying to die, but I don't know how to fucking break free from the demon that lurks in my shadow. Seeing what I saw tonight, you with baby Bo, broke my heart again. I needed to numb the pain, even if it was only for a few minutes.
I looked up at her with a trembling lip, struggling to continue.
I saw her again, our daughter, standing right in front of me with so much sadness in her eyes, not smiling like all the times before. She took one look at me and shook her head, Briggs. My own drug-infected illusion was disappointed in me. Then she was gone. She vanished.
My body fell forward, burying my face in my hands, letting everything out. Every last part of me.
I don't know what to do, Briggs. I wish I could be stronger for you, for us. I wish I could be the man you fell in love with, but I don't know how. Every single day is a struggle for me to stay sober, and I don't think it's ever going away. As much as I want it to, as much as I pray, it's a part of me now, and it won't let me go. I thought leaving New York and coming here would eliminate the triggers, but it hasn't. Please, God, please fucking help me.
She didn't waver, getting down on her knees to hold my crumbling body in her arms. I went, willingly, needing comfort, needing solace, needing her.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Please, help me, Daisy. Please, God, help me. Please, please, take away this fucking pain in my heart. I need you, baby. I need you like I need fucking air to breathe. I'm nothing without you. Nothing. Please, just fucking help me.
It's gonna be okay, Austin. I'm here. She wallowed, her heart breaking for me. I sobbed harder, my face tucked into her chest with my arms wrapped tightly around her. She was the only thing keeping me together, even though there wasn't much left of my hollow existence. Everything changed that night on the beach. Briggs took me home, and I slept in her arms all night, knowing that after tonight, I wouldn't get to hold her for a while. She woke up early the next morning, and I stayed in bed for as long as I could, battling between my craving to go use and my desire to stay with her. Thank God, my love for her won. She checked me into rehab, and I went willingly.
Chapter 32, Austin. 4 years later.
Go fuck yourself, Briggs sassed.
Why would I do that when I could just fuck you?
She immediately got up from her chair to run away.
Where do you think you're going?
I laughed, grabbing her around the waist. She shrieked, doubling over as it tickled her.
You're supposed to let me run first. It takes all the fun out of it if you catch me before I get a chance to run, Austin.
She giggled, gasping for air.
It was still the sweetest sound I'd ever heard. Why would I have to chase you if you're already in my arms?
Because I run and you chase. That's the game we play, she playfully teased.
I loved these moments with her. She was so carefree and happy again. My girl.
Is that right?
I tickled her one last time before turning her around to face me, roughly smacking her luscious ass and giving it a squeeze. She let out a yelp and squirmed in my arms, trying to break free. Her mouth parted and she bit her lower lip, making my cock twitch. I picked her up to straddle my waist, rubbing her up and down my hard dick.
I like this game better, I rasped, carrying her over to the front counter of my tattoo shop, positioning her ass on the edge.
It had been 4 years since my relapse that night on the beach. Each day was a struggle, but it was getting better and easier as more time went by. Briggs dropped me off at rehab the morning after I used. I checked myself into the 90-day program. We only told Dylan what was going on. She told everyone else that I had to finish up some work stuff in New York.
No one asked after that. During that time, Briggs got really close to my family and friends, including my dad, which shocked me more than anything did. But then again, she always had that effect on people. She was hard not to love. I knew having a family was what Briggs had always wanted,
and I was thrilled that they were able to offer her that.
Rehab fucking sucked, but I stayed and did what I was supposed to. For her. Anything for her. I tried exercises and stretches, but my back pain was still there. Mostly, I just kept ignoring it. It became a part of me, like my addiction. I went to my classes, I did my therapy, I found a sponsor, and I worked through my steps to achieve my ultimate goal. To stay in recovery. I was scared shitless the last day of my program, even though I wanted nothing more than to go home to Briggs, to sleep in our bed together, to hold her any time I wanted or needed. My counselor said that it was normal for everyone to feel scared to enter the real world again, that it would have been weird if I didn't feel that way. It was easier to stay clean in a controlled environment. Briggs found us a 4-bedroom, 3-bath house with a pool and a huge backyard. She had it fully decorated by the time I came home. The house was beautiful, but not nearly as beautiful as the smile on her face when she jumped into my arms the day I was discharged, with a treatment plan that I kept every day for the last 4 years. We christened every corner of our new home, making up for lost time. Twice. We had more money than we knew what to do with, but I was getting restless, needing to do something. I started sketching again after years of being so fucking high and numb. It not only affected my body, but also my creativity. One day out of nowhere, I was drawing a sleeping daisy on the couch beside me, and for some reason her tattoos were my main focus in the sketch. When she woke up, I asked her what she thought about me getting my license to become a tattoo artist. She smiled, replying by kissing me all over my face and sucking my cock like a goddamn pro in approval. We opened a shop not long after. I tattooed, and she handled all the managerial customer service bullshit that I didn't give a fuck about. Her uncle had come to visit us a few times, checking in and keeping tabs on us, I imagined. They still had a weird dynamic, but at least he was trying to be around in the only way he knew how. During his visits, we never talked about the past, but it was always lurking just around the corner. I would be lying if I said that seeing him didn't trigger the demons that I had managed to keep at bay. I think a part of him knew that, too.
"What's your favorite thing to do, Austin?"
Briggs whispered, looking deep into my eyes as she wrapped her arms around my neck, bringing me closer to her. I immediately caged her in with my arms around her pretty little face, slightly pulling back her hair at the nook of her neck, just like she loved. I leaned in close to her mouth, biting her bottom lip, and huskily rasped, "Fucking you, baby. That's my favorite thing to do." We were happy again, and more in love than ever.
"Prove it,"
she challenged. I didn't have to be told twice. It was after hours, and we owned the fucking place. She was counting inventory and decided to sass me with her smart-ass mouth. Her body was perfectly proportionate with mine as I stood in between her legs. She looked up at me with adoration and yearning. The heady expression that I could never get enough of had me losing control. I roughly grabbed the back of her neck and plunged my tongue into her eager and awaiting mouth. It went back and forth between us, each giving the other what we craved. She clutched onto my hair, and I pulled on hers, beckoning her head to fall back and give me the liberty to assault her neck. I ran my nose from her chin to her collarbone, kissing all over her breasts. "Who's my girl?" I baited, knowing she loved it when I asked. Her nipples were already hard when I pulled down the front of her dress, waiting for me to take them into my mouth. I sucked and gently bit one while my hands caressed and fondled the other. Her breathing escalated, and both of her soft, delicate hands gripped my hair as her hips gyrated forward on the edge of the counter, on the brink of falling. I heard the rustling of my jeans as she unbuckled my belt, pulling out my hard cock. My hands went around to her ass, and I effortlessly picked her up off the counter, sliding her panties to the side and slamming her right down onto my cock before she even saw it coming. In one thrust, I was balls deep inside her. Home. We moaned in unison, both appreciating what the other was giving. She fit like a fucking glove, tightly wrapped around my cock. My arms leveled her up and down, thrusting her onto my shaft. Fuck, you feel good. Her G-spot was hitting the tip of my cock ring so perfectly and precise. Let go a little. Look at me. I got you. You're not going anywhere. She loosened her hold and hitched in a breath when she looked into my eyes. I braced my forehead on hers, and we never once took our eyes off of each other. I knew it took all her willpower not to let her eyes roll to the back of her head. Within seconds, we were both gasping and breathless for air. Her moans were getting louder and heavier. I could feel her cum dripping down my ass. I fucked her harder and with more determination, wanting to feel her sweet pussy come on my cock. Within minutes, neither one of us could take it anymore. We both came together. Hard. I kissed her one last time before placing her back down on her feet, holding her upright till she balanced on trembling legs.
I want you to give me a tattoo, she said out of nowhere, looking sincerely into my eyes.
Right now? I replied, tucking my cock back into my jeans.
It won't take long.
I walked toward my chair, padding forward to sit. Where and what would you like, pretty lady? She grinned, grabbing a piece of paper from her purse, sitting in the chair, lifting up her dress to point to her lower abdomen.
I want these dates in numerical numbers.
She handed me the piece of paper with a serious face. You want this date from a week ago and this one from almost a year from now? I asked, confused. Why?
It's the day I found out I'm pregnant and the day the baby is born.
I jerked back. What did you say?
Your baby is in my belly,
she smiled. How? She cocked her head to the side with a snide smirk.
Well, when a man and a woman really love each other, they...
I laughed.
You're on the pill.
She shrugged.
Sometimes it doesn't work. This is one of those times.
You're sure? Like, positive, 100%?
I went to the doctor and she confirmed it. I've just been trying to find the right time to tell you.
We're going to have a baby? I questioned again, needing more confirmation. She enthusiastically nodded with tears in her eyes.
I can't tattoo you, Briggs. You're pregnant. But you're going to have my baby?
She beamed and I pulled her into my arms, finally holding everything we ever wanted.
Briggs, I love this room, I said, lying down in the guest bedroom with Austin's head on my stomach, looking around the space. I actually thought this would be our first baby's room when I bought this house, I added, scratching his back. First? He replied, peering up at me. I want 4 or 5 kids, Austin, so we will probably have to buy a new house, but we're good here for at least another 2. Is that right? Do you hear your mama? Already talking about giving you siblings. What do you think about that? He asked my stomach, kissing it. He started having conversations with the baby growing inside me since the day he found out I was pregnant 2 months ago. Every day, he talked to my belly. It didn't matter what it was about. He said the baby needed to learn his voice so it would know who its daddy was. Every night, he sat with his head on my stomach, just to feel close to our child. It was the sweetest thing I had ever witnessed. My heart was so full on most days, I could hardly take it. When Austin first got out of rehab, I was scared that he was going to relapse again. But to my surprise, every month it got a little easier. He never missed his weekly meetings, and he talked to his sponsor often. He told me his triggers were always there, but as the years went by, it was easier to ignore them and take them for what they were. The past. His future was with me. And of story. We hadn't told anyone I was pregnant yet. I think we both wanted to enjoy it being just ours for as long as we could, knowing that his family and friends would soon want to be involved in everything they could. They had become like my own, taking me in and treating me like one of the family. That reminds me, he got up. I'll be right back. I rubbed my belly while he was gone, loving the feel of something growing inside me. Our love. I got you something, Austin said, lying in the same position he was in before he left. He handed me a box with baby animals and balloons decorated on it. I opened the lid and there was a soft pink baby blanket, a few pink, purple, and white baby onesies, all with sayings on them. I held up the pink one. It said, Daddy's baby girl. The purple one said, my other girl. The white one made me laugh. It said, party at my crib, 2 a.m., BYOB. There were a few bibs with similar sayings on them, but it was the photo album that brought me to tears. It said, you're all we ever wanted. Austin, I wept, unable to form words with all the emotions coursing through me. I drove by a baby store the other day, and I couldn't help myself. Don't cry, babe. He wiped away my tears. I know she's a girl. I feel it. I sniffled. This is the worst thing you could do for a pregnant woman. I'm going to be crying for days. Then I'll be wiping away your tears for days. I never thought, I expressed, getting choked up. I mean, I hoped. I prayed. I just never thought you would make it back to me. I started crying harder, imagining life without him. My biggest fear, losing him again. I'll never leave you again, baby. I'm not going anywhere. I owe my life to you, in every sense of the meaning. I love you. He kissed me, grabbing the onesie that said, my other girl, placing it on my belly. We sat there for the rest of the day planning the rest of our lives that finally included a family. Chapter 33, Briggs. A piercing pain in my stomach woke me out of a dead sleep. I immediately placed my hand on where the pain was radiating from. Austin, I whimpered, recoiling into a fetal position. He stirred, his arm that was draped over me slightly moving. He groaned, still sleeping. Austin, I can't, oh my God, Austin, I stammered, the pain unbearable. Baby? He sat up instantly, blinking away the sleep. You okay? What's wrong? Ah! I moaned out in excruciating pain, tightening the hold on my stomach. He pulled the sheet off us. Fuck! Baby, don't move! You're bleeding! Fuck! There's blood everywhere! I heard him fumbling in the linen closet for towels as I lay there in a pool of my own blood and worst nightmare. No! I cried, already knowing what was happening. No! Please, no! Shh, it's okay. He took a towel and wiped the blood off between my legs. Baby, we need to get you to the hospital right now. You have lost a lot of blood. Hang on, okay? I love you. He picked me up off the bed in a cradle position, and I instantly curled into his chest. It's okay, baby. You're fine, he reassured, kissing my head as he carried me to the car. He sat me in the passenger seat and leaned it back for me to lie down. He didn't let go of my hand the entire time he drove. I not only cried out from the pain, but for the news we were about to receive. It didn't matter what comforting words Austin kept saying to me. It wouldn't change the truth. They immediately wheeled me back into the ER where the doctor did an examination and an ultrasound to confirm what was going on. One minute, we had all the happiness in the world. And the next, it was ripped away from us without so much as a goodbye. I wanted nothing more than to block out the next few hours of our lives. Is it something that I did? I asked the doctor, only looking at Austin, who appeared as broken as I felt. There was a familiar gaze in his eyes, one that I hadn't seen in years. Lost. Devastated that our baby was no longer with us. No, sometimes these things just happen. But the good news in this situation is that you got pregnant without a problem, and you're still young. In a few months, you can definitely try again. I'm going to keep you here for a couple of hours just to monitor the bleeding. And if all goes well, you will be able to go home soon. The good news. I wanted to tell him that there was no good news at this moment. Only tragedy. He left the room, leaving Austin and I to grieve over what we just lost, what we both wanted so badly. Our baby. I was discharged mid-morning, scheduling an appointment with my OBGYN for the next day. Are you okay, Austin? I whispered loud enough for him to hear. The silence was deafening in the car on the way home, both of us consumed with the dark state of our thoughts. He barely said more than a few words the entire time at the hospital. He nodded, reaching for my hand. Are you okay? His intense stare remained on the road ahead as if it pained him to look at me. I didn't know what was the right or wrong answer, so I went for the safe one. They said we could try again in a few months. I don't have to go back on the pill. We could try. He squeezed my hand, stopping me from continuing. Yeah, I breathed out, leaning my pounding head back on the headrest to aimlessly look out the window, watching the streetlights and trees blur by. Home was the last place I wanted to be, but we ended up going there anyway. Austin made me some tea and grabbed a beer from the fridge. Sitting beside me on the couch, he pulled me into his arms. I leaned into his embrace, fighting back my tears and the emotions threatening to surface. All his warmth was replaced by an unfamiliar frigidness. I didn't want to cry. I knew he was hurting, and the last thing I wanted to do was light the match to the fire that I could already smell burning. I laid my head on his shoulder, his tense arm tightly wrapped around me. He kissed the top of my head. I'm sorry, Daisy, he murmured, letting his lips linger there. I didn't know what he was apologizing for, and I was too scared to ask. It's not your fault. It's no one's fault. My resolve was starting to break the tighter he held me against his cold body. It felt like all his warmth left with our baby, as if he was waiting for me to break down, waiting for me to lash out, waiting for something that maybe didn't have anything to do with me. I was so worried about him that I couldn't even contemplate what just happened. I couldn't mourn the loss of our baby, because I was terrified that I would soon mourn the loss of the man sitting beside me, the one that took years to make it back to me. Loving an addict was like being on a roller coaster with no seatbelt on. You had no idea when it was going to turn. You're just confused, disoriented, fearful, praying. All you could do was hang on for dear life and hope that it didn't kill you. Do you think... He stopped himself, leaning over me to grab his beer from the table. What? I peered up at him. What were you going to say? He wouldn't look at me. Not for one second. He shook his head, taking a swig of his beer, polishing it off with one gulp. He didn't need to say it. I knew what he was thinking. It's no one's fault, Austin. You heard the doctor. He said these things just happen, usually for no reason at all. Please, don't blame yourself. It's not me I'm blaming. I tried to jerk free, but he held me tighter into his chest. Baby, I didn't mean for it to come out like that. I love you. We can do whatever you want. You want to try for another baby? I'll give you whatever you want, he said with a tone void of any emotion, still blankly staring at the wall in front of us. It hurt immensely that he couldn't even look at me. He wasn't able to look me in the eyes and tell me what he really meant by that. Austin, Briggs, stop. I'll hold you for as long as you need. I'm not going anywhere. I can promise you that. I just can't talk right now, okay? I just want to sit here with you in my arms. I just want to feel you. That's all. Tears threatened to surface as I bowed my head in defeat. He lightly skimmed his fingers through my hair. I closed my eyes, holding on to the love we shared, the last 4 years, the first four of our relationship, the memories, anything I could cling on to for hope. Exhaustion won the battle I was fighting. I fell asleep, silently crying in Austin's arms on the couch. I woke up from a dream, except before I even opened my eyes, I realized I was alone. My memory blanket securely placed on top of me. The darkness from the outside world was shadowing in through the sliding glass doors, revealing the truths I already knew. I whipped the blanket off of me, needing to find him. My feet moved on their own accord to the room that was going to be our baby's. I just had a feeling that I would find him there. As soon as I walked in, I saw him. His demons prevailed. My fears went unheard. He didn't even try to hide it. I don't know if that was better or worse. He peered up at me with his vacant, constricted pupils. His blue eyes, so illuminated. So hollow. So fucking high.
Austin, I tried. I swear to God on our love, on Briggs's life, on our unborn babies. I fucking tried. I sat there for hours holding her, praying that it would be enough to keep me strong, to hold me together, to hold me back from what was calling for me, what my mind and body craved. After she passed out, I still sat there, not wanting to let her go, letting the night's events play out in my head, trying to understand what it all meant. When I saw the blood in between her legs, it didn't even register in my mind what was going on. I just wanted to get her to the emergency room to make sure she was okay. Not once did I think that it could be our baby. The thought never crossed my fucking mind. When the doctor confirmed it was a miscarriage, my whole life flashed before my eyes. In seconds. And I'm not talking about the life that I was currently leading. From that moment, I felt it. My sobriety, my recovery, my demons were emerging from the darkness, sitting right on my goddamn shoulder, whispering, lurking, and fucking waiting. I ignored it, almost like you did to an itch that needed to be scratched. I thought if I held her, if I had her in my arms, I'd be able to fight off the demons, knowing that if I relapsed, I could lose her. I could lose everything I ever wanted. But it didn't matter, because I already felt like I lost another part of me, of us, and nothing was bringing our baby back. I felt guilty for not sharing my many emotions and thoughts, things that I didn't want to say out loud, not wanting them to be true. That was my first mistake. In the end, the craving won. There I was, lying in the same bed where we spent almost 3 months talking about the future, planning our lives, the very life that included our baby. I didn't get to say goodbye. I didn't get a choice, a say. Again, I turned my head and came face to face with an angel. My whole life was standing in the doorway with nothing but disgust and disappointment in her eyes. Then it hit me. The cause was lying in bed, limply holding a needle in his hand. Me. Again. Briggs didn't have to look down at my arm to know. My eyes always told her the truth.
4 years, Austin. 4 fucking years,
she said, her voice breaking.
Why? Of all things, why did you have to use that one? Or any of them?
I took in her distress before I simply stated, I wanted to see her. She immediately put her hand over her mouth, fervently shaking her head back and forth.
That's not fair. You cannot play that card every goddamn time life throws you a fucking curveball.
It's the truth. Tears streamed down her beautiful face, and I resisted the urge to comfort her, too caught up in my own misery.
I'm hurting too, Austin. You know the real fucked up part? Is that I knew this was going to happen. The minute you lifted the sheet and saw the blood, I couldn't contemplate what was going on because I was too fucking worried about you. How is that fair to me? I can't mourn the death of our baby because of you.
I watched each one of her tears fall down the sides of her face, one right after the other, playing out in slow motion, absorbing into the wooden floor below.
Stop! Right! There. I know exactly what you're going to say. I'm sorry, Briggs. I'm so fucking sorry. Am I right? Did I hit the nail on the head, Austin?
Baby, I really am so fucking sorry. She visibly cringed at my apology, and I knew why. I hadn't said that to her in so damn long. It even felt foreign coming from my lips.
I promise I won't do it again. I swear to you. I just needed something to take away the pain. Something to cloud my mind from what was going on. It was a one-time thing. Look,
I showed her the needle in my hand.
No more left. I only got enough for one time. I won't put you through this again. I can't. Austin, this is the same story, just a different time. How can I?
I don't lie to you. I've never lied to you. She took a deep breath, unsure with how to respond. I got up and went to her, backing her against the wall, caging her in with my arms. Her eyes instantly went to my forearm where I had used. I lowered it, grabbing her chin to look at me instead. We locked eyes, even though I knew it was the last place she wanted to focus on right now.
4 years, Briggs. 4 fucking years. Trust me, I made a mistake. I know that. You know that.
I let go of her chin and kissed along her face.
Where's my girl? Where's my Daisy, hmm?
I could feel her melting against my touch.
I love you more than anything. I'm sorry. I won't do it again. I promise.
I kissed along her lips, beckoning them to open for me. They did. She let me in, just like I knew she would. I kissed her with everything I had, wanting her to feel my apology, to feel my undying love for her.
My hand went to the nook of her neck,
pulling her closer as my tongue assaulted hers. She let out a soft moan and pulled away, breaking our connection. I pecked her lips a few more times, moving down her neck and back up to her lips, kissing her one last time.
"You can't do this to me again,"
she murmured against my lips.
"Please, I can't."
I gazed deep into her eyes.
"Shh, I'm sorry. I love you. I made a mistake. I promise. I'll call my sponsor. I'll tell him what happened. I'll go to more meetings. I won't do this to you again. Please believe me."
Without a word, she looked at me one last time, turned, and left. I let her go because it was the right thing to do, even though it felt so fucking wrong. The damage was already done. There was no going back. Only forward.
Chapter 34. Austin.
It had been a year since Briggs miscarried our baby. So much had fucking changed. Nothing in our lives was the same after that day. I worked all the time, leaving Briggs alone a lot. It was easier to get lost in my art than it was to face reality. At first, she used to come in with me and work, both of us needing the distraction. But as the months passed, the less frequent her hours became. She usually just worked a few hours a week and hired Mason, Lucas's son and Alex's stepson, to work the front desk on the weekends and after school. He was 15, and a punk-ass kid who reminded me a lot of Lucas at that age. A smart-ass mouth that would get him in trouble one day, and stubborn as shit. "Hey, Mom," Mason announced as Alex walked through the door.
"Mason, your dad is going to kill you. Your report card."
"Because he loved school so much.
I want to go into the military. I don't need school to be a Marine." She sighed, and I resisted the urge to chuckle. Instead, I just smiled and shook my head.
"What's so amusing over there?"
Alex called out, catching me. I shrugged, sitting in my chair, sketching up some designs for clients.
"The kid wants to fight for our country, Half Pint. It's not like he's saying he wants to join the circus."
"Mason, can you go get me a coffee next door, please?"
Alex ordered.
"Mom, I'm not 8 anymore. I know you're going to sit here and talk about me. I don't need to leave. At least this way I can defend myself. Am I wrong?"
"Mason?" she warned in her half-pint mom way. Mason was well over 6 feet tall already, towering over Alex.
"This is bullshit,"
he murmured under his breath, grabbing her money and walking to the door.
"Mason Ryder!"
"Love you, Mom,"
he said over his shoulder, walking out of the shop. I started laughing my ass off. I couldn't help it. Lucas to a fucking T right there.
"What am I going to do with that kid? Lucas is seriously ready to strangle him,"
she stated, turning her attention back to me.
"Look, Half Pint, his balls dropped. He's going to step up to Lucas eventually. It's a rite of passage for every boy."
I couldn't stop laughing.
"And karma is a fucking bitch."
"God, and I still have to go through this with Bo?"
"At least you have your baby girl."
I looked over to her with a smirk.
"Who is 5 going on 18? She will not leave her brothers alone. All she does is follow them around and nags them."
"Sounds familiar," I smiled.
"I was never that annoying, though."
"Debatable,"
I chuckled.
Her eyes widened.
"At least it's good to see you smiling and laughing, Austin. Even if it's at my expense, I'll take it."
I looked back down at my drawings, the smile fading fast. She was right. I couldn't even remember the last time I truly smiled, or laughed for that matter.
"What's going on with you? Are you and Briggs okay?" You didn't seem okay at the barbecue a few weeks ago.
I ignored her, continuing to draw as she made her way over to me, pulling up a chair beside mine.
Hey,
she placed her hand on top of mine, stopping me.
What's up?
Alex, what do you want me to say?
I love Briggs, and she won't tell me anything either.
She's actually much harder to get something out of than you are,
which is hard to believe the way you keep your feelings bottled up.
We're just going through some shit. You wouldn't understand.
Try me.
I cocked my head to the side.
Oh, come on. I can keep a secret. You should know that more than anyone. I never told a soul that you kissed me. Not even Lucas knows. It's no one's business but ours.
Half pint. You know why you didn't tell him, and that's not the reason.
It was part of it. It didn't mean anything, and you knew that when it happened.
We locked eyes. You know? She smiled.
You've always been the rebel, Austin. It's who you are. And because of that, you isolate yourself a lot. You still do. It's the way you cope with things. And it's never been healthy. To keep that all bottled up inside, waiting for it to erupt like a volcano. I think that's why you confused your love and our friendship for something you've always wanted. But you and I both know it was never me. I was just the only girl in your life that made sense. That's why I never told Lucas or anyone else.
I narrowed my eyes at her, taking in what she was saying and knowing that it was the truth, every last word of it. I remember when I told Briggs that exact same thing.
The way you look at Briggs is so devastatingly beautiful. I've never seen anyone look at someone the way you look at her. I know that you've gone through a lot by yourself, and I'm sure even more with her. But you can't just shut down, Austin. It'll only...
The bell from the door rang. Mason walked back in with the coffee, and I couldn't have been more grateful for the distraction. I had no desire to continue this fucking conversation. There wasn't anything left for me to say. I'd used my excuses all up. It was easier this way. To pretend like everything was okay rather than face the reality of what happened to our relationship since the miscarriage. The guilt alone was too much to bear.
Austin?
Alex stopped on her way out the door, pulling me away from my plaguing thoughts and feelings.
We all lost you once. I believe in my heart that she helped you find your way back. You need to remember that when you feel lost again.
She turned and left. I spent the rest of the afternoon thinking of what she said, silently praying that when I realized that, it wouldn't be too late.
Briggs, the more Austin pulled away from me, the worse I felt, the more I died inside. It had been a year and a half since my miscarriage, and I asked him at least twice a month if he was using again. That's what our relationship had come to. He swore on everything that he had ever loved and promised me that he wasn't using, that he hadn't relapsed since that night. The only problem was he acted like he was. The sad thing about it, I couldn't tell if he was using or not. It had been too long, or maybe I was just too blind, too emotionally exhausted to think otherwise. The tattooed sleeves on his arms made it nearly impossible to see any track marks. He was still going to his NA meetings and talking to his sponsor often, doing everything he did before he relapsed. Maybe even more so now. But the way he acted, it wasn't my Austin, and that's what confused me the most. The air was so thick between us that some days he would hide out in the room that was supposed to be our baby's. I hated going in there, and I think he knew that. It was his safe place to get away from me, away from real life, away from us. I found some support groups online with women who had miscarriages, and a lot of them said that their relationships with their husbands or boyfriends suffered because of the tragic loss, that sometimes their partners blamed them, causing an even bigger rift and turmoil in their already shattered relationship from the miscarriage itself. It's not me I'm blaming. Those five words haunted me every day, which is why I let him be. I believed every word that came out of his mouth because he'd never lied to me. I trusted him because I loved him. I lost myself more and more every day during that year and a half, the reason being that I didn't recognize the woman staring back at me in the mirror. Most days, I tried avoiding my reflection, not wanting to accept what was happening. Austin was all I'd ever known, I went from my uncle's fucked-up grasp to his. There was no middle ground. I didn't know how to be anyone else but his girl. And that scared me more than anything. I started going to some NA meetings without him knowing about it, trying to understand the way his mind worked, how an addict's mind worked, hoping that I could gain some insight on how to proceed, how to help him. I learned that addicts are very selfish people and that their addiction becomes so consuming that they don't even realize it. I heard the words rock bottom come out of so many damn stories, it made me question if Austin had truly hit his. Enough for him to change. I wondered if he ever stood up and told his story to a bunch of strangers that were all united and tied together by drugs, their addiction. I wondered if his story included me, what he said, what he feared, what he wanted out of life. I used to think it was me, love, happiness, a family. I didn't know that anymore. I began to question if I ever knew it at all. Baby, Austin groaned from behind me, pulling me into his embrace. He kissed all along the back of my neck, and I leaned into his affection. There were times like this where he would show me the love I knew was still in there, even though we were both hurting. We would make love for hours, and he would hold me and tell me he loved me. He would call me his girl. With a snap of a finger, the next day he would go back to ignoring me, pushing me away. I couldn't keep up anymore. His emotions were causing me whiplash, and after all these years, I finally felt the havoc it brought upon me. We never discussed trying for another baby. It wasn't an option. I went back on the pill, and that was the end of it. Austin all of a sudden started to pull out when we had sex. There were very few times he actually came inside me anymore. He didn't want to try again. And I guess I couldn't blame him. Neither one of us could survive the heartbreak of losing another life. There was so much blood on my hands that I could barely see them. The entire time I was pregnant, all we talked about was our wedding, marriage, and our future together. I knew he was going to ask me to marry him. I just didn't know when. Now I couldn't tell you if that was even in the cards anymore. One thing was for sure. We couldn't go on like this. I couldn't go on like this. You smell so fucking good, Daisy. I loved it when he was this way with me. Mine. I have to go in the shop for a few hours. I have a client I have to finish up. I'll stop by Half Pints restaurant on the way home and get some dinner and that chocolate cake you love. I'll bring you home the whole fucking cake, baby. You just have to smile for me. He turned me around to look deep into my eyes. Just give me that goddamn smile. I did. He caught it and placed it near his heart, kissing me. Long. Hard and deep. I love you, baby. I know it's been a clusterfuck lately and I've been an asshole. He breathed out, peering down at the ground while rubbing the back of his head. I would never intentionally hurt you, Briggs. Please tell me you still believe that. Tell me you still know that. Yes, I honestly spoke, making him immediately look back up at me, surprised by my answer. Everything is going to be different from now on. I swear, you're all I need. We will get through this and be stronger because of it. I promise you. I nodded with every fiber of my being, wanting to believe him, needing to believe him. I'll see you soon. He kissed me one last time and walked out the door. I spent the rest of that afternoon happy, at peace even, which should have been the best feeling in the world, but it wasn't. Not even close. After it got dark out and the night took over, I couldn't calm the anxiety that I felt so deep in my fucking bones. Etching and burrowing in, making itself at home. There wasn't a damn thing I could do to get it to go away. I paced the hallway, nervously twirling my hair around my fingers. My heart was pounding, echoing off the narrow walls. My head was reeling with what-ifs. What if he's lying? What if he's using? What if? What if? What if? Over and over again playing out of my mind. Something else I learned from the meetings. Addicts lied. They lied so much they couldn't tell the difference between the two anymore. Austin was different, right? I walked past the room that was going to be our babies, probably 100 times in a few hours, debating on going in there, the intuition to walk into the bedroom, along with the voice in the back of my head hammering at me to go in there, wouldn't stop. As much as I wanted it to. As much as I tried. I opened the door and turned on the lamp that was sitting on the nightstand. Taking in everything immediately as if it were about to disappear any second. Everything appeared the way it should be. Nothing seemed out of place, even though Austin spent a lot of time in there. I walked around the room, my fingers lightly touched along the walls. I think we should do a soft yellow color on the walls in this room. a soft pink. It's a girl, Briggs. I know it. My feet softly skimmed the wooden floors. We need to have Lucas install a carpet in here. Austin, the floor doesn't need to get replaced. He kissed the tip of my nose. I protect what's mine. I looked around the closet, still picturing the baby clothes that Austin surprised me with that I had to hang up the same afternoon he gave them to me.